Hello and welcome to This Week in Testing. This is episode 95, Quality and Leadership. And I'm joined today by my co-host, Natalia. Welcome, Natalia.
Hi. Hi Ben, how everyone? Happy Friday. I'm glad to be here and have this
Happy Friday.
conversation on Friday.
Absolutely. My name is Ben. I am also known online as the Full Snack Tester. And just a reminder that this is a Ministry of Testing event and the Code of Conduct is in force. You can view the Code of Conduct on the Ministry of Testing website, should you so wish. Also, This Week in Testing is a podcast and this will be recorded and available when later on the Ministry of Testing website and where podcasts are available as soon as we can get it online. So, welcome to all of you who are listening back in podcast format. We appreciate you as we do all of you who are listening in live. So we have a little bit of a theme this week about leading with quality and quality in testing leadership. Natalia, do you want to run us down a few of the news items for this week and help introduce a bit more about leading with quality?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Ben, for a lovely introduction. Yes, so let me just walk you through what was happening in the community this week and outside as well, like a couple of releases. For example, Module 15 MOT Software Testing Essential is certificate is live. The module is about testing that, which is interesting because I think it's maybe my first time I heard about testing that. So usually it would be tech debt, but I'm definitely gonna have a look and understand. So it's a lot of things like what it is, how to manage. So should be very useful, I guess, for anyone, not only if you do essential certificate. Yeah, there was a new feature launched in by us by community. So you tell us, we listen, thanks to MIT team who made it happen. So you can now switch between your public profile on MIT and the club, and you can follow people much easier and see the activity. So very useful. Link as well. New releases from article from Demi. How experience and struggles in the team when integrating into the team who are not familiar with dedicated testers. So it's still very like relevant experience. So have a check out on that article as well. I think Demi is also joining us today. I saw her. Hi, Demi. Yeah, so as well, there was very nice testing trend, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, from Rosie. And I love the quote that actually stood out, just stuck in my mind, quality is care. So, and this is very true, right? So it reflects how we care and reflects on outcomes on the quality. Lots of things going on as well. And meetups, lots of meetups in Berlin, Porto, Athens, London, Tunis, in Cork. If you're around in Cork, you will have a Playground Fundamentals workshop, which is very cool. I love hands-on stuff. Yeah, and so today's episode would be slightly themed around quality engineering and leading with quality from different angles, right? Either you'd like to come in to quality engineering from, let's say maybe you're on IC role, or how is the whole quality leadership looks like, right? So how, what it actually means, and like how to do quality culture, how to build. I check it out this morning, MIT homepage, and there is already a brilliant talk with Callum Eichenhorst and Rosie about quality leadership. Let me get the right article conversation. What does modern equality look like? Right, so you can go and explore. So it's right on the home page. It's excellent addition to the topic today. Very briefly, whistle tour, all was happening this week, and I believe Ben wanted to give a couple of shout outs as well. What was happening in the community to some people? Wasn't it the idea, Ben, you told me earlier?
Absolutely. So I did want to give a shout out. Something we've done before this week in testing to give a shout out to those people who've got new jobs in testing. And I want to give a shout out to Simon Pryor, who's joining GoodNotes as head of quality engineering. And so big bug grats to Simon. And I want to celebrate that especially for this theme because it's a one of those quality leadership roles, head of quality engineering, that's really great to see people, good people in leadership roles at that head of level, which is always great to see.
Yeah, and I'd like to give shout out to you, Ben, if you don't mind either. I think you already kind of revealed as well. So congratulations on your new role. When you start on 1st of July, really exciting. So happy for you.
Thank you very much.
And I think Jen as well, one of our community members, she starts a very interesting role as well. Congrats to you, Jenna. She starts a role of developer advocate. So yeah, I'm sure we will hear more as she is getting on.
Very exciting. Very nice to hear that Jenna's got their next role. Okay, so I'm very keen on starting the conversation and then getting people up on stage. Shall we have a little bit of a chat about leadership in quality and leadership in testing, and then open the floor and see if we can get some of our lovely audience members to join the conversation?
Yeah, excellent idea. So
Okay, so
how is,
go ahead.
I wanted to ask you. So with your new role, if you don't mind, how do you think your quality leadership or leading with quality might look like? Do you have any maybe prior thoughts how it might look like?
It's a great question. So I know some things and I'll share those with you. And there's plenty as I don't start for another 10 days that I just don't know yet. So to give everyone a bit of context, the new role is titled as Lead Quality Engineer. And I will be initially the only quality engineer. I think there might be another quality engineer joining me at a similar sort of time or hopefully shortly after. So there will be two of us across two different teams, which will be very cool. So I'm looking forward to that. So I'll definitely be a solo tester, a solo quality engineer within the team that I will be in. So I'm going to start within a team and I'll be supporting that team that have been up until this point primarily doing the testing for themselves and doing the quality work for themselves and finding out. Early on, I think my job's really going to be figuring out what is, where are the gaps, where do they want to go, where are, so some of which, in fact, there was a great talk at the British Computer Society yesterday from our good friend Callum Akers-Ryan, and he was speaking a lot about things like the art of the possible. So I think some of what I'm going to be doing early on is understanding where the team is now. And then figuring out the art of the possible and where things could go, where they want to make improvements, where they want to invest time. I know one thing for sure is that they want to invest more heavily in automation. So I think they're going to be looking for me to help make some choices, not to write all the tests for them, but to lead the way and make some choices about implementing more automation than they currently have.
Yeah, amazing. It's very diverse role, right? So it's like whole holistic way of looking at where you are and where you want to go and what you need to do to get there. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Nice to hear.
Absolutely, plan. And what I won't be doing, at least initially, is managing any people. So it's one thing I did want to talk to you about is that obviously there are two very distinct elements of leading quality and leading quality leadership, and one of them is really about managing quality professionals, managing testers, and that's something I've done a little bit of, but not much. And then the second side of it that I'm a bit more familiar with is that more technical leadership, that more process and strategy leadership? And if I'm right, correct me if I'm wrong, you've got some more experience than I do in the people management side of leading quality.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I've got that side as well. And, you know, I might say it's more challenging than for me personally, than technical leadership. Because so my approach is you need, like I'd like to find a way to every engineer to understand what they need, right? Like what's their way of motivation, learning, whether we're on the same page and how to help each other. And that takes time and takes effort, right? So it depends as well, like the scale of organization, right? So I think like on a bigger scale, when you have very different departments, like you've got managers, you've got the delivery. So connecting all of them and also helping your team to find their fit, their role, their value, and connect them to all of those stakeholders, as well as the challenge. As yeah, so it takes time if anyone in this role and they find it's taking time. I'm sure you're doing the right thing. It's just communication and like the relationship and people management is just not as straightforward. So it's definitely like needs investment and building a relationship as well with people is very important, right? I understand could be more struggle if you work remote. Like even I have a lot of people who work in South Africa, so I work quite a lot remote with them. Although you're on a daily basis talking to them on Teams, there is still the small difference in person that makes a huge impact, right? When you have people in person and you can interact and read their body language and expressions and be in the same room makes difference. So I hear you and I feel you. If you're working with remote teams, it's just very different. But yeah, and that's why I think some people would love to have a technical leadership as well. Not very keen on people manager because it just takes time, efforts. You
Well,
know, if I, yeah.
kudos to you, Natalia. It's a tough gig. I've done just enough of people management for just long enough to know that it's an awfully tough gig to really support people in a way to make an impact with people management. It's a whole skill set in itself that does need to be celebrated for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, like those you know, I also find it's like a glue work that keeps your team motivation and high trust team, high performance team, right? But very sometimes it just can go like taken for granted of things like, oh yeah, it's easy like, you know, to build the trust, but it's very hard actually, you know, and from that foundation, you need to be like really putting lots of efforts. But yeah, eventually, hard things are very rewarding at the end, right? So when you see, like, for example, you go away on holidays and everything runs smoothly and you were not contacted or were you not even picking up your phone and everyone is fine, you understand that all the efforts, all relationship and kind of motivation and values and goals and strategies, it's working all together. So, and you say like, okay, I possibly do something right. So, yeah, so
You
just hang
live
on
in the
there if
dream,
you,
Natalia.
yeah.
Live in the dream. That sounds excellent. I honestly could continue to talk about the subject for the whole episode, just the two of us, and we will. But I do also want to take this opportunity to invite people to come onto the stage. And let me see if I can advance the slide. I did. Fantastic. So, for anyone who is new to this week in testing, welcome. For anyone who's returning, as you've crowdcast before, you know the drill. If you put up your hand or you let us know in the chat, we can invite you on stage. You can keep your webcam well and truly off, but you do need to connect to your audio, and you can come and talk to us a bit about leadership. So if you've got any questions about either technical or people leadership within quality that you could ask me and Natalia or the rest of the audience, or if you have something to share your own experience about leading with quality, then absolutely feel free to come on stage and share your story or your recommendations. We're very keen to hear from more of you. So now I've done that shout out, we have a little bit of a chat while we wait for people to put their hands up. So I have to ask, Natalia, while you're investing all this time in the people leadership, do you get much chance to get involved in the technical side of things as well? Do you get to do a bit of both?
Yes, I do have a bit of both. Just to give a little bit more context, I work in a startup, and by nature, you do everything, right? So, and I like to be involved because then, you have a conversation and you understand where sometimes their struggle is or what could be done if we just have like more specific conversations and I do it myself, like just to understand, right? And I test myself. Like testing is a bit maybe less, but things like I work now on a project to migrate some, it's more like developer side, because I also want to understand how developers are feeling their frustration when they can't manage smoothly projects, right? And I get that as well, right? So, and I share to them things that I struggle with and they advise me. So I try to be close to everyone so we build that bond of shared frustration so we can understand and say like, okay, let's make it easy for everyone, for you, for me, for developers. So yeah, I do. It depends how long, how much diversity. Some things I have no idea how to work with. So I would do AI assistance, right? So yeah.
Very cool. Thank you very much for that, Natalia. And I just want to welcome to the stage friend of the show, Christine. Christine, welcome to the stage. And
Hi.
how has been your week in leadership?
Ooh, my week in leadership been quite full because I was at the LDX3 conference, so it's the Lead Dev conference, which happened in London on Monday and Tuesday. So I was just in the UK, and that's basically the what's it called, the Festival of Engineering or the Engineering Festival. So you basically, I was surrounded with directors of HubSpot. Head of engineering from New York Times, so all the leaders who should know how to hopefully lead with quality leadership. And I gave a talk about quality leadership. So that was very fitting, I think, to the topic today.
Oh, that's very cool, Christine. Do you mind for the audience sharing a one or two of your key takeaways from the talk? I'm not going to obviously get you to re repeat the thing for us live on stage, but maybe some of the key topics.
Yeah, I think so. The main thing, so I was trying to, because it's the first talk where I'm speaking to engineering leaders, and as we know, as we also mentioned over Natalia, you're not so much in the business anymore. So like in the technical stuff, you're actually on strategic levels. So I was throwing a lot of numbers. For example, the 5.6 billion outage cost from CrowdStrike, and the 2.4 trillion cost of poor quality in the US alone annually. I find that one is a very impressive number because you basically can throw it around. And the second one is 6.5% things cost more when you let it compound. So if you have an incident and you're not fixing it immediately, if you fix it a couple of months later because of legacy code and other stuff, it costs you 6.5 times more. And I definitely had the feeling that the people were reacting quite well to these numbers. I will share in the link the moment I stop in the chat the moment I stop talking. I created a GitHub repository with like the four key strategies I implemented also in other companies. So I talked about the championships. So basically having quality champions around organizations. Have one of the most important thing I believe is a weekly quality review, which is very like on the strategic level, very fast. Okay, how confident are we with our shipment? What is the risk right now? Because what I heard also a lot in the customer discovery calls for Epic Test Quest is that risk-based testing is so important because it can save you time, but rarely people are actually doing it. All right. So, oh yeah, that's true, Rosie. The GitHub link is already there. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you also whoever added that for me. So, and risk assessments are just not done that often. So we have to make it, if you make it as a routine, it's just better because then you just don't have enough time to test everything. So I think what Rosie shared here, my GitHub has most of them. I think what shocked me a little bit is, so I also met AJ and Praveen. So hey, I think AJ is there. Hello. It was very nice meeting some quality people there because yeah, I think also AJ had the similar experience that me, that a lot of these engineering director heads is like, aha, quality. Do you have also somebody else from your company joining technically? Which is like, okay. It still was a lot of conversations I had was like, yeah, we don't have QA. It's like, okay. So we shift all left. Okay. But if you shift all left, is anybody doing like your strategy on quality? So I basically, my whole thing was showing what is the cases of like CrowdStrike and Sonos and Klarna of like not paying attention, then the math, then strategies. And in the end, I showed examples like Spotify, Amazon, and again, CrowdStrike because they changed after the outage. How you can actually lead with quality. And my two key points were quality is speed and quality is your competitive advantage. And I had the feeling the feedback I received, hopefully people understand that better because it is so important to do that.
That's so cool, Christine. I was very happy that you've had a quality leadership talk and dev conference. I think that's the key. Well, I think in industry and conferences, that's the key thing. We don't have diversity or mixed talks in our others, like, right? So we talk about quality in the community, which is great, but how do we take it out and go to leads and engineering leaders, right? And decipher what quality means. It's not what majority of people think, right? Like you said, shifting left solves some problems, sure, but quality is such a wide scope, and it's about like everything. It's like feel in touch of your app, your response, your content, your navigation. It's so much. Yeah, so it's very good. I'm gonna watch your talk when it's available online. Many other talks as well. So yeah, well done on that. Also representing MIT voice in there. So it was captured
Thank
very
you.
well by AJ.
Yeah, thank you. I also believe that it was very scary, like being a QA talking to like it, yes, I'm now the CTPO because I have my own company. Can give me in the end also the title I want to, even if the title is correct right now. It does the technical and the product things, but it's still also like being there. But beside all of these like directors and of huge companies, I was like very shocked, like how like they're just there, which is very interesting. But yeah, the voices for quality. It's very funny that basically everybody who was regard like was related to quality found me somehow, and then we had chats, and that is it's very interesting. But it was yeah a very small number, and it's very scary to go to these events because the people not always see you. Yeah. You see the face, and I give them the face back because I also believe what you said. Hey, shifting left is nice and fine, but you have to have the touch to your product. Hey, in the end, your product is used by people, and as long as it's used by people, you also need somebody who tests this for accessibility. And I think AJ shared that with me that a lot of them even don't pay attention to that, which is scary. But what is what that quality said? Quality speed, also quality is competitive advantage. Because it's about when you, so the goal in that was basically what I compared, especially also with Sonos. So Sonos did not do it well, but Spotify is doing it well because they use quality to basically
not do the same mistakes as Sonos. So it's your competitive advantage. If you invest in quality, you will be better than your competitor. And you see the competitors failing, so you pay attention also to not do that what they did. So it's a lot about, I talked a lot in business terms as well, because it is always nice, and we all have the gut feeling. We all know, like, yeah, oh God, no, we cannot have technical debt rising, and we cannot have, oh God, it's not working, and usability, accessibility, super important. But to the higher ups, numbers are also important. Eh? It comes to growth, it comes to conversion, and it comes to like trust as well, customer trust, and that's how you get that. You have to have that competitor advantage. That was to me. But yeah, I will share also the talk when it's out. I think after the 25th, I read today. So next week, the talk's going to be online, and I will share it in the observatory as well. And I would love to hear your feedback as well. I tried to put some, I think a couple of weeks ago, and then this week I'm testing, I shared also a club form post, and I took some of that in, but it was only 25 minutes. It wasn't so easy.
Thank you so much. I'm very generous with getting the talk online as well. That's very cool. I'm looking forward to that one, Christine. So, Natalia, Christine, do either of you have any questions for our audience? And I do want to encourage anyone who is talking in the chat and talking about quality and leadership to feel free to put your hand up and come on stage. You do not have to have the role title of lead or leader in order to discuss leading with quality. You are all more than qualified to talk. And that's actually a good topic in itself, is that leadership is not just a title. It is a thing that you can do in various different roles. I don't know if that's something either of you have experienced or you'd like to talk to.
Yeah, I can explain, because I was confused myself. So I thought, to be a leader, I need to have a title, and then it kind of enables me, and then I can do all those things that I already knew I wanted to do. But in my previous place, they were having like a very good kind of encouragement, the same mindset like Iman has mentioned, you need to have a title. And your leadership, it doesn't mean you go and figure out like a massive strategy where you're going next, right? Or the biggest innovation, anything, the big one. That's possibly why it's misunderstood. I was on IC, I was IC, which individual contributor level, and your leadership could be like initiating some technical improvements and leading it, right? So getting people together, understanding where the problem is. It could be as small as, I don't know, like refactoring some things. It could be within your quality team, or if you have like some engineers in your even team on squad, right? You can start really as small. Could be like you introduce different type of testing, let's say even accessibility, or just the whole concept, right? You just lead in, you sharing the knowledge, you might write an article, whatever way you can do to share that idea and explain to people why it's important, right? It can be as coaching and mentoring juniors, it could be sharing your knowledge with developers, pairing up with them, right? It's those also like leadership, right? Taking initiative and owning it, that's your leadership as well. And if you succeed, awesome. If you don't, I'm sure you can say, that was great experiment, they didn't work out, I'm going to go and find out another solution. So yeah, try yourself and see what happens.
Yeah, completely agree with you. I think the only thing I would add also is empowerment. I think you already led to that, but also really empower the people to also lead with that. Empower them to own this process as well. Because like you said, the coaching is super important. But yeah, also give them like the feeling of achievement when they like also were able to implement that, especially also like I've met amazing developers. And also, like I said, I spoke with head of engineering as well, who like also the moment they understood how much value this actually had, also were very inspired to also do this as well.
That's great. I can really relate to those answers. And we have Gary joining us on stage. Do you want to introduce yourself, Gary?
How you doing? Hopefully you can hear me.
Yeah,
Yeah, perfect. Hi,
yes, you can.
Gary.
Always have to check. Yeah, so I'm a QA lead at Ito World, and yeah, a lot of the chat that I've been involved in, and everything I'm hearing is, it's very, very pertinent to me. Yeah, and I think one of the things that you sort of mentions about, like, it was leading. Hang on, just made some notes as we were going along, that one of the things I've been trying to do with the team is, with my sort of QA team, is the trouble is that when if you're not being to lead, we have to get ourselves in the conversations about quality earlier, and I think if you sit and wait, you don't. At the moment, especially in my organization, which is why it's a journey, you don't often get invited from the outset at some of the conversations you need to be involved in. So I've definitely been sort of telling my team to sort of to go, look, if you want to be seen as the test team, then this is what you need to, this is what you're doing, is you're being seen as a testing, but we need to be talking not just about testing. We need to be talking more about the quality up front. We need to be like trying to make sure everything's testable, and the fact that they're thinking about quality as in the experience as well, from a user's perspective as well. So we need to be getting into those conversations a lot more. So I've been trying to coach the team into breaking out of that mold that they feel that they're in, to start thinking bigger around quality and become more coaches, and start thinking about a coaching and a quality focus mentality around that. I mean, for example, I got involved in a conversation because I elbowed my way into it. There was some designers talking about this great new feature they were talking about, and I was listening to the conversation in a sprint meeting, and I said, well, when are you having this meeting? And then they sort of said, and I said, okay, can I come along to that? Just going to observe. I'll just sort of sit there quiet, which I don't. And so I was listening to what they were talking about. They're straight into, the architecture and design and how we can get these things to do it. And then my first question was, there was like two choices of the UI of, like, would it do this or would it do that? And then I basically said, well, just taking a step right back, how does the user know what choice they have to make? Where does the decision come from? And that's what they hadn't thought of. They'd gone straight into design. And I think that's the thing, that's the key where we need to shift, with leading with quality, is people. It isn't just about like testability and making sure that we can test. It's making sure that we are very much aware of what the end goal of delighting a customer looks like, and our kind of achievement from doing that, and just making sure that there's obviously loads of tasks underneath that to make it happen, but just making sure that everyone's on the same wavelength, and everyone on the same mentality, I think, is what it's really all about.
That's a great
Yeah.
point, Gary. And
Yeah,
I've
thanks for
definitely
sharing.
anecdotally, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ben. Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's a classic story I've heard from many leaders in quality, of the having to knock on the meeting doors and bang the doors down. It's obviously a different skill when it comes to physical meeting rooms versus online meeting rooms, but the
Yeah.
effect is the same. You still have to ask the right questions of the right people to find out when things are being discussed and get someone into the room.
That is different, yeah, because it's like I say, I'm work, or we our company is a remote company, and it's like a lot of them, that happened in 2020. So we became remote, got rid of the offices, and then we stayed remote, and the productivity shot up. But the downside is is, like I say, you're not privy to all the conversations that are going on, so you have to kind of use instinct to know where to be and who to be talking to, and it's quite a challenging environment from those kind of problems.
Feel free to stay on the stage, Gary, and continue the conversation. I'm also just going to accept onto the stage. Pretty, welcome to the stage. Let's see if we can get you on. Welcome, Pretty. Looks like you're muted for the moment there. Do you want to give yourself a go unmuting and introduce yourself?
Oh, now audible?
We can hear you now.
Great. Thank you for having me on stage. So, in terms of introduction, I would say myself as a QA professional, I have wear different kind of hats throughout my QA journey. So, I have been as a tester, have been as an individual contributor, and has also been in leadership and management. So, different kind of testing hats I have worn. So I have a experience in every role, I would say. So when we talk about the leadership, I would definitely say that when we are talking about leadership in quality, it is like having a vision and a strategy about what we are going to test or what we are performing as a quality there. And ultimate goal is like having our happy customers, end user customers should be happy in those terms. So I measure it usually in terms of skill and will, I will say. Sometimes it so happens that a person is having a skill and willingness to do, definitely he or she can go for the leadership and do the rest of the things, ensuring that end-to-end process is happening well and ultimately achieving the quality of the product. But sometimes it do happens that we don't have the skill, but we have the willingness to do the work. So definitely in that case also, we can move ahead with the leadership thing, try different kind of things, talk to other peoples, have those kind of conversations and develop those skills. We can develop the skills again. On the other side, sometimes it happens we do have the skill, but we step back, not willing to do the things because we have engagement in some or the other thing. But definitely, if that is the need of the hour, that we are only there to work or provide our input. So definitely it is there. Go for it. It's not like the title which we are wearing. It's all about the action, the mindset. Quality person should have. If you have some experience or willingness to do the work, definitely you can wear the leadership hat and move ahead, ensuring what the quality of the product should be. So it's all about thinking about end-to-end testing strategy, having the vision, what we are going to test, how we are going to test, and how we are able to present it in front of all the stakeholders, where quality means a lot.
Thanks, Priti, for sharing your ideas. And yeah, I do agree that's a path and skill and journey everyone can get on and build their skills, either core or technical, whatever they choose to. Yeah, thank you. I've seen Eamon on the stage, but I think he's not here anymore. Yeah.
Eamon has been working on their permissions.
Oh,
Eamon,
cool.
give it a go on the mic. See if you can introduce yourself.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we
Yeah, yeah.
can.
Yes.
Welcome.
Wow, look at that. The curiosity. I finally figured out the permissions. Very strange that you need to give camera permission when you don't even have a camera.
That's a great book. So, Eamon, welcome to the conversation.
Hello.
Feel free to introduce yourself and feel free to join in to the existing conversation or start us on a new topic on leadership.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Eamon Droko. Been on here a couple of times before. And yeah, just to go back to something I put in the chat about leadership being an action rather than a title. Somebody mentioned that at the BCS conference yesterday, and Nagesh Deshpande, apologies if I said his name wrong, but it was a really great talk about leadership and how leadership can come from different people without even having the title. And I think that's something I'd only learned in my career quite late. I felt like if I didn't have the title, I couldn't influence people and I had to wait and be like very reactive to things. But I think a good leader is proactive and looks for opportunities where they can influence, no matter how small that is. So that's the kind of advice I would give to people that are maybe looking to make the step up to leadership or to be seen as a leader in their organization, is that look for opportunities where you can influence the people around you. Just put yourself into rooms, put yourself into conversations, just kind of force your way in and just make people aware of your existence. And I think that's a great way to kind of make that step up to leadership without having the title.
Yeah, that's great. I love that, Eamon. And I think it's something that a lot of people who are earlier on in their career, or at least my I'm not going to say people, I'm going to say myself. That's one thing. Myself earlier on in my career, I didn't really realize until I started stepping up into the more roles that had senior in the title. So going from that kind of junior to the mid senior and above levels is when I really realized that there is a lot of leadership needed within what are still individual contributor or IC roles and don't have the word lead or leadership in the title. But there's still many aspects of leadership. You might not have the same responsibilities, you might not have the same level of authority or influence, but starting to exercise elements of leadership actually has to start way earlier. Those developers and testers and product people who are able to start contributing in with leadership really have a powerful impact from much earlier in their careers. So yeah, that's a really great one to shout out.
Yeah, just to add as well, like, nobody was born as a leader, right? You have to take steps to do that. You have to, it's not going to get given to you. You have to like, do things and show people why you should be seen as that. I was having some conversations at the conference as well yesterday, and you talked about your own career. Like, even in my career, I felt like a fear that I couldn't speak to certain people, let's say like the leads of other teams. I couldn't speak to them because, oh, they don't want to hear from me. I'm too junior. And I think what's helped me break out of that thinking is coming to platforms like this, for example, going to conferences and speaking to people. You realize that everyone is just a human being, and you kind of lose that fear of speaking to people that might be a level above you in terms of title. And once you kind of get over that fear, I think influencing becomes a lot easier because you're not as afraid to suggest certain ideas and certain things to people that are a higher level than you because you already see them as a human being. And I think part of that as well comes to the, there's obviously that topic of psychological safety that Git did the great talk on yesterday as well. Feeling safe to speak to people on a level above you, that's going to make influencing a lot easier.
Great point. Gary or Christine, did either of you want to come in on that point?
Oh, that's a difficult one because I never care if somebody has a director title or not, because in the end, like what you said, even we are just humans, right? And we are not just, especially when we are at work, it's not that you just like say something and just because you have that emotion or something, then no, because you have the knowledge, you were put in even as a junior to have a look at quality and the things you see, especially when you are new in the company or also when you are new to that role, are things which also like the people on the other side need to be able to explain that. It's also very, very important. People new to a company or junior roles, you see things through a new lens, which is very important because the company or the leaders or the directors have to be able to explain that. And I'm a very bad example for that. But I never cared if I, like, I spoke to my CTO straightforward. I spoke to everybody because I believe in the end, like, the biggest thing we always have as humans is sharing, caring, and also learning from each other. And I think that's also this community showed. There's always, I spoke to so many, like, even in Pretty, like, you are also part of us. We spoke to so many people, and everybody is always so open, because in the end we are also, like, especially in this community, are all connected to quality, to our passion to use just good products, and don't be annoyed with this. And on the other side, when you are in a company, everybody has the same goal to hopefully that company doesn't go downhill. So, and quality is a very important thing for that, and making revenue. So I think that's definitely, but I understand how this feels if you also start in these things. So I'm glad also for you that speaking to all of us, or speaking, being active in this community, be it in the cool meetups in London, help you to overcome that, because I believe it's very important, because in the end, everybody should be able to give you also answers to this question.
If I may jump, I share the sentiment with Eamon. It's like, who is interested in junior tester, or like tester if you talk to CFO or CEO? And one advice that, I don't remember who was that, like on the mentoring session gave me, it's like, they said, I act like you're already there, right? Act like you already have the title, act like you're already there where you want to be. So what I'm saying, my brain needed to be tricked a little bit on wording, or like creating the environment like already there. So because for me, it was hard to break through. And it changed my perspective, right? So it's somehow, well, brain is a very interesting thing to work with. And I said, like, right. Because they said, like, you're already doing it, but somehow you're holding yourself back. So when no one will tell you not to, so try out. And yeah, it gave me a little bit more clarity and, like, freedom. I can do that. I don't need to wait for permission or look other things we can have a title. So yeah, it's an interesting one.
Thank you very much for sharing. So I've invited Ollie to the stage, who put their hand up, but Ollie hasn't managed to connect yet. Just giving a loading spin up. But I have managed to get Demi on the stage. Welcome, Demi.
Hi, Ben. Hi, everyone else on the stage. I thought I'd come join once more, not as a co-host this time, but just as a person joining the discussion. Because the subject then and the last stories really spoke to me, because I have a very special start on my career. I've now been a tester for I think about 2 years or something. And when after 2 months training, they put me in a team, and after a month on that team, there were two other testers on the team. I chose the team specifically because there were other testers that could teach me something. And after a month, they both went on vacation for an entire month, and there I was, 1 month of testing experience in that team. So I managed, I believe, very well. And I set up some ways of working with the team. And by the time the other testers came back, the team was actually won over with my way of working. And in 3 months' time, I got the unofficial title of test lead in the team. So I don't have the official title, still don't. But I hold that position in the team. And that came that quickly because even though I didn't have a lot of experience, the other testers were quieter. And I was like, no, there are these questions that I have and objections and things I want to point out that the others should pay attention to. So I started speaking up in meetings, and I learned a lot about the project and things like that. And before I knew it, I was in discussions about story cards with the head analyst and the architect of the application, and I was holding my own, and everyone else was there like, Demi, what are you doing? You're not supposed to speak to them that way. And I was like, no, they are wrong. And I quickly did that for my, even though I knew that I didn't have a lot of experience, and I was like, not sure if I should be test lead, but since I am, here is what I have to say. And I just went for it. So now 2 years along, I'm still test lead. I have some testers in my team that I now guide and coach to get a similar position in the team, because of my actions, testers are now a more central part of our project team. We are seen as a vital part in all kinds of discussions. Lots of people, even the senior people on the team, know to listen when I raise a question or a concern, because they have noticed that I bring some vital feedback and good points and things like that. So I do want to say that no matter what position you are in, how much experience you have, your contributions can help. And just by speaking them out loud, by pointing them out, other people will notice that you have these contributions to make, and they will very quickly accept it. Like I said, in 3 months' time, they already accepted, like, Demi knows her stuff about this project that she has never seen before in her life. And it's okay. We're going to listen to her. If Demi says it, so it's okay. So, yeah, I do believe that there is, people are open to it. They're just waiting for you to take your place a bit, I believe. So yeah, that's my contribution to the discussion.
Inspirational, Demi. You've got a lot of love in the chat for that one. Very cool. Just want to read out one thing that Ollie has put in the chat because he was unable to join the call. Ollie says, something I was going to say was that something that helped me was interacting with people in positions of power in the company. It took a lot of the nerves out of having higher level conversations. So I think we've said it before, everyone is a human. I think humanizing the people that we're talking to, humanizing the leaders by having those interactions, sometimes before we need them, and being a little bit more sociable, that can be really powerful. And I know that it can be very difficult as a leader to make time to have these conversations that don't necessarily feel mission critical, but they open you up to then getting good conversations with people later on. So it's really important. I think earlier on those conversations, the chat about open leaders and leaders who will listen, I think it's all part of that same point that Ollie was making, that if you can have those connections, then the conversations will happen. Or you can do a Demi and just kick ass and take names.
Yeah, I can just quickly add to that. Like, I have a story very similar to what you just described, Ben. In my last role, I was reaching out to the people in the company. I just started not long before this, and the head of design, I reached out to him just to have a chat, just a call, just to get to know each other. And I didn't really have any intentions. It was just like, get to know this person. And what happened is I ended up gaining an ally in my QA efforts there. From then, like, the design team knew who I was because he could vouch for me. And so when it came to things like asking for design so I could write test cases early, that wasn't a problem because I already had the relationship. So yeah, definitely just speak to people about anything. Just make them know who you are, and you can start to get buy-in from there when you actually need things.
Absolutely. So just doing a bit of a time check, we are coming up to time. Just want to thank again everyone who joined on stage today. Thank you very much. You are helping shape this week in testing and make it what it is. And thank you very much for everyone who joined live, listened, and contributed in the chat. It's a really excellent group conversation that we have in this week in testing, and everyone joining in, it all counts. It all helps move the conversation forward. And thank you very much to our fantastic co-host, Natalia. I think we had some great conversations to kick things off, and we managed to open the stage to a lot of people today. So that was great work. And I will speak to the slide that we have up at the moment. Just to mention that this year, along with Test Bash, we have an extra new day, the Leading with Quality, a one-day educational experience to help expand quality engineering and testing practices across businesses, which is on the 30th of September from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. And you can find out more about that on the Ministry of Testing website, where there is an opportunity to learn more and buy tickets. If you think that this isn't the right thing for you, share it with your engineering managers, heads of quality or testing, your CTOs, your CEOs, your staff engineers, and your team leads. If you're not going yourself, try and get your manager or your leaders to go. And that just leaves me to say thank you all very much for joining for this week in testing. And Natalia, is there any last things you want to say as we close the call?
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining today. Thank you, Ben, for co-hosting, everyone who engaged in the chat stage. It was an absolute pleasure to spend this hour with you and discuss quite important and a topic in quality engineering. I wish you all a very lovely weekend, and we see you next Friday.
Thank you very much. Yes, go forth and lead. Have a great Friday, and we'll catch you next week.